Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or a favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about changing circumstances. And we all know that that happens, right? Things change. We get into the middle of something and something shifts. Something changes. So, let's ask our core question that we often do on this show to start us off. Oh, hello, everybody. Thank you all for being here. Within our context, within the context of negotiation, a mediation, an alternative dispute resolution, a workshop, a seminar, whatever it is that we're doing that has to do with bringing people together to make consensus and to reach a successful outcome, within our context, what types of changing circumstances have we experienced? Yeah, what's our most common type? Oh, I see we have lots of participation. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for all of your wisdom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to let's divide up what we're going to talk about into two general groups, because I can see that the comments and the questions and like that are dividing into two groups. I'm going to call one type of changing circumstance internal to the group, right? Within the group itself, something has changed. And the other general area that let's talk about is changing circumstances outside the group, right? Externally. Something is happening in the big wide world that is affecting us. Mm-hmm. So let's do internal first, since that is oftentimes what happens. And sometimes we've got both, right? Yeah. And sometimes they're dependent on each other. Very strange. Hey, life changes. So let's do internal to the group. What kind of changing circumstances do we often see? And you know what? I think that the number one comment that we've got, Annika and others are talking about a change in the participants. Yeah, that's an internal changing circumstance. Our participants in our group who make up our group dynamic, right, have changed. Something's happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Charles and others are saying that sometimes the participants are no longer with the company. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot. I actually do quite a bit of work with international corporations. Mm-hmm. And in midstream, so to speak, oftentimes we're doing a seminar or workshop, but sometimes we're doing a negotiation. Things change for my participants employment-wise, right? Yeah. They change jobs, and they're no longer the person who's proper for the group, right? They don't have the same position, and therefore they don't have the same authority, or they've shifted kind of sideways, right? Yeah. Or maybe they're no longer with the company. Yeah. People, well, they change jobs, they get released. I don't like to say fired. Yeah, things happen, right? Our participants can change, right? Uh-huh. And yes, it is true. Everybody's saying that the change in participants affects the whole group dynamic. And it does, because we've gotten used to each other, right? We have a team. And the longer that the group has existed, the longer we've been doing the workshops and seminars and negotiation, the more the pieces of the team have become integrated. And therefore, we've got now a new person, right? Yeah. And as Simeon and a whole bunch of others are saying, that the new people need to be brought up to speed. Brought up to speed. Good point. And it is true. You've got a new person, they've come in, and they don't know what's going on. So they need to be brought up to speed. They need to be told what's happened so far. And, you know, sometimes that is very, very revealing and very interesting. It's kind of interesting sometimes to shake up the group dynamic. Yeah, I don't willingly do it deliberately, although people are talking about that too. Yeah. Because it does break continuity, right? But it is interesting to see what people think is up to speed with our participants, right? Yeah, because they've got to tell the new person how we're doing and where we are and what's been accomplished and what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's terribly interesting because, it makes us all think about it, right? In a concrete, this is how far we've come type manner. But also, it means that we have to say it. We have to bring it out into the open, how we think about it. And sometimes we're not that big in agreement. We kind of have to get together on it. Have to think about it together and go, what do you think of this? You think that's done? And sometimes the answer is, I'm not so sure. Right? Yeah. It's terribly interesting to do that. It is. It's like, what do you think? I don't know. I think maybe. And if you have to explain it to a third party, that's changing circumstances. But it's also revealing, yes. Brought up to speed is a kind of an Americanism. It means that you tell the new individual how far we've come, how far along we've come, and what needs to be done so that he or she can understand their role, the group. And, of course, their role will gently, we hope, shift into being a true teammate, right? Yeah. So their role is really to be integrated, and the other people's role is to help to facilitate that, really, because we're new. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, people are going, it's like grammar school, where you're the new kid in the class. I suppose it is. And you know, we're all human beings, and we try not to, but, of course, everybody kind of judges the new person, right? Mm-hmm. And the new person kind of judges everybody. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of interesting, too, as we seek to become a whole group again. The person who left was, they were already in the group. They were already important because they were part of us. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is a very good point that Linda and others are making, that if somebody leaves the group voluntarily, for example, they've been promoted. Right? Yeah, they're no longer in that position. But, they really enjoyed it, and they really thought we were getting somewhere. Especially workshops and seminars, but also other things, other kinds of groups. Or maybe somebody moves out of town, right? They get promoted or shifted sideways, and they move out of the area, so they're no longer really, or they get really busy. A lot of times family concerns happen, right? Get really too busy to really be a member of the group. But if someone leaves the group voluntarily, as Linda and others are saying, they may still be willing to assist. Right. They become our connections, right? They become our network. They're still willing. They're not really unwilling to assist. They just can't do it on a more regular basis anymore. Mm-hmm. Yes, people are talking about the involuntary. Mm-hmm. The involuntary. Yeah, that happens sometimes. I try, as you all know, because a lot of you have been here before. Thank you. Thank you for coming back. Hello to the new people and everyone else. I try very hard not to, how shall I put this, make anyone leave involuntarily if I can help it, right? As in, you're out of the group. You're just not a good team player. You are being disruptive. Goodbye. That type of thing. We go to some lengths to try to modify behavior and to enforce the civility rules. The civility rules for the new people are very simple. They're the only rules the Recipe for Peace Now really has. And at the core, the civility rules just say, we will make an effort to not be rude to each other, to be polite. We make an effort to be polite, to be gracious, right? Yeah. The civility rules, we will be civil. As simple as that. And that is something that for some people is very hard, right? Yeah. And it is sometimes difficult to get people to understand the importance of the civility rules. And we, of course, are always a good example of them. I try to train them for the purpose of this group, not for the purpose of always, although we hope, right? But sometimes someone does need to be dismissed. Yeah, usually for breaching the civility rules, it's a good point that sometimes people are eased out with a little talking and like that. And I like to think of it as voluntarily leaving, because they've done an actual something that causes them to not be part of the group. But it might be deemed involuntary. You kind of say goodbye is when they are not holding up their end. They're not working. They get an assignment and they simply aren't doing it. They simply refuse to cooperate, right? They refuse to be a part of it. They just refuse. You name it, they refuse it. And this is something that is kind of a voluntary leaving of the group. And sometimes they can't work regularly, but they will indeed, as we said before, still be willing to assist. Be willing to make a phone call. Be willing to connect you with someone, right? Because they just don't have the time, the patience, the willingness. They oftentimes are people who were assigned to the group and really didn't volunteer, right? They're in a position where they were kind of forced to, but it's kind of not their thing, yeah? And so they are basically unwilling, right? Yeah. And you got to know that. And they will plain ordinary out and out tell you that this is true, really. And that's when people kind of, they change the dynamic of the group, but it doesn't hurt anything because they weren't really team members anyway. Yeah. What other kind of internal changing of circumstances do we have besides our participants changing? Yes, it's a good point that sometimes people's attitudes change too, hopefully for the better. People are talking about changing attitude and not just changing people, but the same people change their opinion. We hope that they change their opinion more towards the center of the group, right? So that we can reach consensus. And almost always that occurs. Because we've thought it through. And whatever their, what they call a knee-jerk reaction, it's kind of an Americanism. It means whatever their visceral reaction was, they can now think it through and go, you know, that's a good point. Probably that wasn't true. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's a different kind of change, too. And a change for the better. There we go. See, it is true. Yes. This is a very good point that's being made. We're talking about change in circumstances in a negative manner, aren't we? Yes, we are, because it's the one that affects us kind of the hardest in its way. But it is a very valid point, and it's being made lots, that sometimes a change in circumstances is positive. We've worked towards it. Yes, we've worked towards it. It's good. We go, wow, one target down. Let's go on to the next. Fabulous. Yes. Change in circumstances is sometimes to be celebrated because it means that we've really gone an extra step forward, right? Yes. It's not necessarily negative, right? A change in circumstance can also be neutral. It's just one of those things that happens. For example, the changing of people because their job description has changed, right? That kind of happens. And in some organizations, in some groups, it happens frequently, right? In fact, this is a good point, too. I have dealt with many groups where the time limit on the participants, and everybody knows it, they stay with this group for a certain period of time, they get some sort of credit for it, and then they move on, right? Think interns, but it's usually not interns. It's usually people who are actually members of an organization, and they have like a three-month window. I've seen this, that kind of rotates, where they get an experience with all kinds of people in all kinds of groups. It needs to be, I always argue, I know, if we're doing something fairly complex, I ask for, if the internship, if the time limit on it is kind of short like that, and it's a long ongoing project, I like people to rotate in and out because they're always people of interest and always people who can be our connection, our could you help us down the line, our expert, yeah? And they've already invested in us. They already know who we are and what we're trying to accomplish. And even though they moved on, they would still be willing to assist on kind of a called in on a specific idea or project or issue basis, right? Yeah. And oftentimes they are people who are in a position of influence, which is fabulous because it means that they can really help. They can really do something, right? Yeah. And I like to have as long as possible. If the issues are fairly complicated, I see 3-month rotations in some big organizations. 3 months might not be very long depending on the issues, right? Yeah, it's kind of just a dabble. I actually, and you can try this, I oftentimes negotiate for more than one time period back to back. Like, could you stay for 2 rotations? Because this is really important and it's really ongoing and we need your help. 6 months, right? Yeah, sometimes it's possible, although the rotations in big organizations especially are set, it's possible for the participant to request their next rotation be with the same group, right? Yeah. Or, yes, or they could go and do a different rotation somewhere else, and then when we progress some and we're towards the final lap, so to speak, we're really almost to our successful outcome, and we could use some extra input. We could use an expert. We could use some assistance with getting in to talk to people and like that. They could rotate back to us, right? Yes. And so you could have somebody for kind of time periods. But you know about those time periods, and that is absolutely a positive changing circumstance that you know in advance. See, we're talking about changing circumstances that are kind of a surprise, and that are basically negative. Not necessarily true. It's fabulous when you get rotated in people. It does take getting them up to speed, though, right? Right. And I try to actually talk to them before they actually rotate in, because you know who they are, right? And when we get the new person, when someone rotates out, right, and we get the new person rotating in, the outgoing person and the new going person, the incoming person, hello, and I go and have lunch or dinner or breakfast or something together, and we talk about what's happened, what the role is, the group dynamic, and like that, so that they don't just come in, hi, I'm completely green, tell me what I'm doing. We know who they are in advance, and I like to prep them with the outgoing, myself, the ingoing, the incoming, and maybe somebody else, depends. You guys are voting for the whole group. That's, in my opinion, the first meeting, right? I really like to prep them first so they don't come in completely green and get kind of shocked, right, and overwhelmed, because we're going balls of fire. I mean, we're really doing well. And they need to know how to jump on the speeding train, right? Yeah, because we're kind of coming to a running stop, and they got to leap on, if you think about it that way. And they need a little training beforehand in order to jump on. Yeah, so I do think that's important. Okay, what other kind? We are not going to make it to the end of our hour with all of our ideas and like that, which is fabulous. But I know some of you really like the recipe. We may not make it. Oh, well. What other kind of changing internal circumstance do we have? A lot of people, Amal and others, are talking about some sort of support has been withdrawn from above. And a lot of people are talking about, in relation to support, that the circumstances change, that it's positive support, right? A lot of times a group needs to be championed, right? Needs to be supported from above, the supervisors, the owners, the administrators, the organization, God. Somebody needs to give it an okay that we're going to do this. And therefore, if they have their support behind it, you'll get further because they will work with you as a group. They don't usually want to be in the group, don't want to maybe be that public, maybe, don't really have time to put in the effort, right? But the group needs their support. A changing circumstance would be if the support is withdrawn. Oops, that would be bad. And we need to find out why and see if we can change that situation or find other endorsement, other support, right? Sometimes that happens when you're dealing with big organizations, even mid-sized ones, I suppose. But so I've seen it with big ones. Sometimes that happens when the support person, the above, who is championing the issues, the cause, the group, either changes position in the company, usually they'll still champion it, or they leave the company for one reason or another. Sometimes it's not a company. I've seen this with some frequency with politicians. They get voted out, right? Or their term ends. We have term limits in the United States. They're no longer the person to see. They're no longer the person who has the power to help effectuate change. And therefore, you need to, that's when you have another group meeting with the person who is going on, the government person who is no longer in the position, and the new person, and you, the leader, and maybe other types of groups to get together, and you explain what it is that we're doing and why it is that we need your support, right? Yeah. And then you find out how well they're going to be, how deep they're going to go, which is also interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your change in support, your endorsement, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is a changing circumstance that needs to be thought about, that needs to be accommodated, that needs to be, well, you might want to call in some of your connections, some of your experts, some of the people who took an interest in you but just either rotated out, for example, or for some reason are no longer with the group but are willing to assist, right? Yeah. Because especially with politicians, but also with heads of departments and things, it's important to have the endorsement because it'll cause you to go further, right? Yeah. And if it's withdrawn and given to a different group, that'll be kind of bad for your group, right? Yes. So you want to be direct, yeah, and explain the value to the endorser of the endorsement. Mm-hmm. Politicians especially. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What other kind of change do we have? This is one that kind of straddles internal and external, internal and outside. We could have a change in funding. Yeah. We didn't get the grant. That's kind of an outside. The corporation is no longer funding that type of a thing. That's inside, right? Yeah. Change in funding. We're going to have to find a new source. We're going to have to think about whether or not we could charge for our services. Yeah, I do that. Whether or not we can find a different source, whether or not we can renew the old source by finding out why we've had the change in funding, right? Sometimes, just like cycles going in and out of people, sometimes funding is only for a certain time, a certain amount of time. And it is what the organization that's funding thinks of as a temporary amount of money to get you started, to keep you going until you reach your outcome and like that, right? Yeah. So funding change. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Adric and others are talking about, and this is really true too, when we talk about internal change in circumstances, he says that sometimes you have a deliberate change in circumstances to encourage new ideas, and you should change teams on a regular intervals. A deliberate change in circumstances to encourage new ideas, and we should change teams at regular intervals. You know, sometimes a group does get kind of stale. Or we get invested in an idea when we really could be thinking about other ways, right? Especially groups that are kind of the process is ongoing, right? Yeah. And they get kind of, this is how we've always done it, and this is the way we're going to do it. But sometimes you need to take a new look around. Mm-hmm. As you might have a deliberate change in circumstances. Mm-hmm. We might all invite a guest, for example. I do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you need to look at it a different way, and we're too close. You ever have that? We're already decided on the process. We've decided on what's going to happen, kind of. And we're having a change in circumstance, but we don't want to acknowledge it. We don't really want to know about it, because we've already got this mapped out in our minds. We've already kind of got it set, what's going to happen. And we don't really want to have that which is set disrupted, right? Right. And it's just gotten stale is what it really is. Yeah. So, yes, you can have a deliberate change in circumstance. I like to invite people to bring someone, to bring a guest, to bring somebody to help us discuss something, to help us make scenarios. Because we all have gotten very comfortable and used to each other. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and it is what we strive for, because it makes a convivial atmosphere, right? And it makes us a very very efficient group, and we're all kind of the same mind. But sometimes things change, and we need to think about whether we as a group need to have a modified viewpoint, right? Yeah. I see this a lot, as a very simple example. I see this a lot with technology, right? And new things occur, and we need to be aware of them and how they impact what we're doing and how we can use them to our advantage. Yeah. And how we can say, well, you know, let's modify. Let's use the new technology in this way. Who can we find to help us to understand how to do that, to show us what it really is that can be done? I'm always fascinated, and I think that it's terribly important to not get blinders on, right, and not be able to see that things are changing. Mm-hmm. So a deliberate change. You know, this is an interesting point that Cheryl and quite a few other people are making, and I think it's a good idea, actually, depending on the circumstances. Yeah, but it might always be a good idea. It may not be. It depends. A lot of you are advocating for having the ability to make anonymous suggestions. Anonymous suggestions, right? Like a suggestion box. I actually welcome that, because sometimes somebody has a great idea, but for some reason in the group, even though we enforce the civility rules and even though everyone is equal, right? Pardon me. Got so excited there for a moment. Excuse me. Even though everyone is equal, I'm going to take a sip of water. Hang on. Pardon me. Look, it's a live show, and we would get rid of that. Even though everyone is equal in the group, in real life, we all know that's not true, right? It isn't. I mean, let's face it, especially if it is a work-related group, a workplace group. A workplace-funded, a workplace, all right, the boss is there. They might be even the rotating people. And somebody may have a really good idea or a really important comment, but they don't really want to make it in front of the higher-ups because it'll impact them outside of the group, right? Or they disagree with one of the higher-ups and it is important, but they don't want to say. I think a way to make an anonymous suggestion is very important, because we will never know the brilliant and important idea. Or sometimes I've seen anonymous suggestions, and I really encourage this. I'm big on an anonymous suggestion box, so to speak. But you can just nick it to me, and it's anonymous, right? Yes, I know I'm looking at you, but I would never tell. It's anonymous. If you say to me, this is an anonymous suggestion, I don't want anybody to know it came from me, but it's an anonymous suggestion. No one will know it came from you. There is no but, right? Very important to keep a confidence, right? Yes, that is just plain ordinary keeping a confidence, and it is very, very vital. So an anonymous suggestion is very important, and the ability to be able to tell it to the leader without fearing repercussion, without fearing that he or she will divulge it, the source, very important. I tell people right up front, you can do that, and I welcome it. I have had anonymous suggestions from group members that tell me that there's something new out in the world that we as a group have not considered because we don't know about it. Yeah, sometimes people know something, And it changes the way we need to react. But we don't know it. I need to know it. We all need to know it. Make sure that there's a way for your participants to talk to you in confidence, which is an anonymous suggestion, right? The comment box is, I guess you can have one if you would like, but I'd rather come up to me during the breaks and things like that and tell me things, right? Send me an email that is private. I'm the leader. I keep confidences, right? So that we can all know what we're doing. Very important. Mm-hmm. Yes. What other kind of circumstances? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Usually people, it's really important to know whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Ralph and others are saying that's why you invite the guests, because you have new blood. For example, young members on the committee who ordinarily might not be on the committee, but they tell us interesting things. Yeah. Yes. You know, it's a good point. Sometimes your group kind of gets stagnated and they start to do something that's really that you can see as a leader is really not going to get you anywhere, right? All right, I suppose that we all do this, but we don't actually say it out loud, but it's my job as host to say it out loud, right? Right. You ever have that in a group where there you can see that they're going down a path that has no reasonable outcome, and they're just going to take a lot of time and effort and like that. And sometimes as leader, in fact, I do this all the time, if you see that it really needs direction and everyone knows that you can be talked to in confidence, you can just say somebody recommended this in confidence, right? Because it's you recommending it in confidence. You're the anonymous tip, right? But you've seen it. You've got experience. I was just in a group. You know that a lot of you know that I'm a Rotarian, which is an international service organization. Our motto is service above self. And so we do good things, good deeds all over the world, and we help people who really can't do anything for us in return, which is fabulous. I love Rotary. But like a lot of organizations that are kind of been around a long time and have a set idea, they need every generation, they need new blood, right? Because otherwise it dies off. And a lot of the Rotary clubs are getting kind of elderly because they haven't had good outreach to new generations, and it is a lot of work, and there's some expense involved, right? Right. Well, the club itself gets some dues, but it also there's an expense if you want to go and to travel to help people get clean water or something. You do it on your own dime, so it's expensive. And it's not that people don't want to anymore, but they don't understand the value of a hands-on thing like that. And there has been somewhat of a generational shift in what people value as something that they should do. Right? Right. There's a perception that Rotary is kind of your grandpa's group, right? It used to indeed be all grandpas, used to be all men, but obviously not anymore since I'm a member. But so I was at a committee meeting, a membership committee, and I'd been called in. I'm not actually a member. I'd been called in to give an expert opinion. And I know you're all going to roll your eyes, but I can't see you because this is radio, right? You know what I look like, right? You know that I'm over 50, right? By a bit, yeah. And I was called in because I'm a younger member. Any questions? Yeah, that says something. If people who are edging 60 are younger members. So there I was. And I didn't really perceive that I was the next generation that you needed to attract to promote that, to promote Rotary as an idea, yeah? And I was called in to kind of lead the discussion, so I was kind of the leader. And also because I was kind of a younger member. Please, people. And I looked around, and I thought to myself, we are guessing at what the under 40, see, younger member being under 40, right? We are, none of us have experienced this generation's under 40. I was the closest, but I still wasn't under 40. Yes, don't even talk about the fact that under 40 is not all that young a generation. But you have to be somewhat established in like that to be able to give the time to Rotary. And there was nobody representing that group. And we were all guessing at what they would like and what would appeal to them. Because we didn't know. We weren't members of the club, so to speak. So I made an anonymous suggestion, right, because I'm the leader and people talk to me, that people under 40 who had shown an interest or who are presently kind of new members should be invited to the table, for heaven's sake, because they know what they want. They know what appeals to them, right? Yeah, so I didn't want to say we're a bunch of old coots, and you haven't the vaguest notion what people under 40 want, because your grandchildren are that age, never mind your children, right? That would be rude. And it wouldn't get me anywhere. So I went for the anonymous tip that I had been told by someone in this group who had looked around and thought about it. No one was insulted. And they all went, you know, that's a good idea. Who should we bring in? And we brought in a bunch of experts, because business people who were under 40, to ask what it is that would make Rotary appealing to them. And you know, they all, once they were told about Rotary and understood what it was and what we were doing, they did find it appealing. It's just they hadn't considered it because it hadn't been brought to their attention. Right? Right. Yes, people are naming all kinds of organizations that have within this lifetime, like the last 20 years or so, failed, big organizations, yeah, or gotten really, really smaller. And so you got to think about that ahead of time. But you got to ask people what it is that you would like, what would make it interesting to you, what would make it of value. What should we market? How should we market, really, to show that there is value in being a Rotarian? Yeah. That's the ticket. That's the question. Value in being a Rotarian. And that's something, see, that I broke out the anonymous comment. Because I could see that we were guessing. We had no idea. People were making pronouncements like they knew something. I can look at you and see you don't know what you're talking about. Because you ain't one of them. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, before we run out of time, and I'm going to apologize in advance because I think we're not going to make it to the recipes, but we're having such a wonderful conversation. Let's talk about outside changing circumstances. These are all internal ones. What's an outside one? And yes, we've already got a discussion going. Thank you so much. Suki and others are talking about opposition groups that have been created. We have taken a stand. We have a successful outcome in mind, right? We have gotten some publicity, and like that, we're getting somewhere. We've attracted the attention of opposition groups, people on the other side who say, no, we don't want that. That's a really bad idea. Absolutely, positively, no. So that's an outside changing circumstance, right? Yes. Outside changes. And people are talking, Hussein and others are saying that sometimes your opposition group has kind of a key endorsement. They receive a really good endorsement. And they might be better funded, right? And we need to address that directly. We need to get our own endorsement, maybe. We need to ask why the endorsement was given, right? We need to consider who the people are, who are opposition group, right? Kyle and others are calling this a media attention competition, maybe, especially in this day of citizen reporters where everybody kind of has an opinion, right? And also the group funding sites, which could make them better funded than we are, because we might be a little old-fashioned on that and call in an expert, right? Right, yeah. Outside changing circumstances, somebody else. You know, this is a good point, too. Hussein and Maya and others are saying about when sometimes the opposition group comes from you. They splinter off from the group. Yeah, for a variety of reasons. Usually they splinter off in kind of a huff, oftentimes because you are reaching out to other ideas, other groups that they don't want to reach out to, right? And so they splinter off and make maybe a more conservative group. And you actually know them because they used to be you. And now they are maybe not exactly in opposition, but they are surely in competition with you for funding, for endorsements, for media attention, as Kyle says, the media competition. Yeah. And they need to be, well, we should have tried to not let them splinter in the first place, but that happens. They need to be, they are muddying the water. They are clouding the issues. We need to work together. Yes, this is the most important thing I can tell you in this particular instance when you've got a splinter group, a group that does not approve of the process you're doing and wants to go do a different way oftentimes. You got to remember the civility rules. Yeah, because your first instinct is to really not be real polite about that. And the civility rules are there for a reason. They're terribly important, right? You won't get anywhere by being nasty. You will get somewhere by trying to bring them back to work together with you, not to make them rejoin your group. That boat has sailed, probably. But you want to be able to work together because you really do have the same goal as your ultimate outcome. You're just using different process to get there, right? Yeah. What kind of other outside things happen? The change circumstances, right? Sometimes George and others are saying outside funding changes, grants, governments, benefactors, and you need to look for other sources. Yep. That's always an ugly surprise, depending on your fixed expenses, but you might be able to reel them in. Yeah, you need to have, yeah, you need more than one funding source if you can possibly handle that, if you can possibly get it. So you've got kind of a backup. And I like to have, if we're doing something that has overhead, I like to have a reserve fund. So we don't have desperation for the next month's rent, right? It gives us a teensy bit of breathing room so we can secure more funding. Yeah, because we don't want to go under because of a short-term problem. Correct? Yes. What other kind of outside changing circumstances do we have? Margaret and others are talking about needing an expert's opinion. Yeah, it's a good point. Tanner, Padme, and others are talking about the fact that sometimes you need to call in an expert to break an impasse. We're having trouble going forward because we're circling around on this particular issue, right? And, excuse me, I'm getting another sip of water. Hello. Sorry about that. Thank you. Yeah, we need someone to come in and be the person that helps us get out of the circle. We're kind of chasing our tail there, and we need to have somebody be the voice of let's go on. This is done. This is over. Let's go on. Yeah. So bring in an expert for that because they've got experience and expertise, and they're a third party because no one wants to be the one to say it. Even the leader oftentimes cannot be the one to say, enough already, let's get going, because we have civility rules and we're a good example of them, right? Right. They break the impasse. Also, sometimes you need an expert because Padmea says you have insufficient experience in the group to determine the next step. Insufficient experience in the group to determine the next step. Even the leader sometimes needs to bring in an expert. Sometimes things get complicated. You have unforeseen changing circumstances, and the leader and everyone else were unsure how that fits into the whole, how that fits into the process, how that's going to work, right? And we need to actually go forward and say, you know, we're going to call in a third party, and we're going to ask them how this works. We're gonna see what it is that needs to be done, and we're going to have their expertise and their ability to help us. Yeah. Yeah, it's true that sometimes you've kind of gone off to the side and you're not quite sure how to get back. That's when I call in an expert, I got to tell you. What kind of other outside changing circumstances? A lot of people talking about that the issues change. You know, this is the best kind of positive changing circumstance. It's an outside thing. Whatever was our issues, whatever was we were trying to do, it got resolved. Somebody else figured it out, or a bunch of somebody else's figured it out, and we're like, wow, that's done. And we didn't even have to do it. Fabulous. The issue got resolved. The problem got taken care of. The disease got cured. The law got changed. It's done. We wake up one day and we go, woohoo. I didn't even know they were working on that. Yes, it's done. It's resolved. It's fabulous. Yes. So changing circumstances, we're no longer needed. It got done. Yes. The law changes. Yeah. And you need to adapt. You know, a lot of times groups are so good and so firm, and they're such a good group, even when something gets resolved, they stay together and shift focus because there's always something new that needs to be done. Right? Yeah. March of Dimes is perfect. Their disease got cured, a huge organization. And they shifted focus onto childhood birth defects, right? Yeah, fabulous, because they were a good group. Outside, Delmira and others are talking about public opinion changes, yeah? And you need to have a marketing plan to sell ideas and support your viewpoint. Yeah, public opinion, that's the media competition that Kyle and others talked about, right? Yeah. And the last one that I think we're going to talk about, because we have like 2 minutes. Sorry, we will get to the recipes hopefully next time. But we had such a wonderful conversation. I hate to interrupt and go, now we're going to talk about stew. No. The other outside changing circumstance that quite a few people, Max and Bettina and others, are talking about is when you get a powerful opponent. the other side, so to speak, the people who are not in agreement with your view of what needs to be done, have gotten somebody of power and influence on their side. It's really promoting that viewpoint. In my opinion, the only thing to do that way is to reach out to them, to talk to them, to try to ask the 5W questions, who, what, where, when, and why, right? So that we can understand why they've taken that position, and maybe we can all modify towards the middle, right? And work towards getting a resolution that is satisfactory to everyone. Yeah. And that's the true trick to it, to work it around so that we really know what we're doing, and we can really say, look, this would be a more reasonable idea, right? Yeah. And yes, the media competition is very important, especially if the powerful opponent, as is being called, is susceptible to public opinion. A celebrity, a politician, a head of a corporation. They all bow to a certain extent to public opinion, right? And they've chosen a side because they think that that will be the one that's the most popular. And you need to show them that that's not necessarily true, and that what they've done is kind of radical, and we need to all move towards the middle. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, my friends, thank you all for being here. We are out of time. Yes. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming and for listening. If you want to contact us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website is www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Our prior shows, they're actually archived on that website. Yes. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation, all of your fabulous ideas. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.